Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Strong Female Characters, a podcast where every week we assemble like a feminist Voltron to celebrate the badass women in geek culture through unfiltered deep dives into the nerdverse. I'm Preeti.
And I'm Courtney.
We're here today without our fearless leader, Cher, who is in the bowels of some convention center.
She is in a big room full of nerds.
So many people.
So many people. And you know what? Like, because I did EC3 with Cher last year, and not a lot in the way of food near the convention center. The only option, Cheesecake Factory, which we ate every day. And here's the thing. Cheesecake Factory, great.
I love Cheesecake Factory.
I love Cheesecake Factory.
I like their 127-page menu.
I love their giant, giant, stupid menu. I love it so much.
It's, you can literally order probably like a diamond ring off that menu. We just haven't gotten that deep into it.
Yeah. There could be anything in there. They should have like weird little like Easter eggs just to see if people are paying attention.
I agree.
Yes. So this episode is sponsored by Cheesecake Factory. It's not, but like we would accept their support in any way, shape,
it's
or form.
True.
If that comes in the form of the hazelnut chocolate cheesecake that they have now, that's very, very good. I accept.
And I would not say to a turkey burger with those like caramelized onions on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any of your ahi tuna specialties, I will happily change my name to Courtney Cheesecake Enlow just to get that good sponsorship.
I feel like
from the Cheesecake Factory people.
We need to tell you guys that it is dinner time.
We are so hungry. We're very hungry. I have not eaten much today, and now I can only think about Cheesecake
All right.
Factory.
Well, you know who else hasn't eaten much? Mr. Tony Stark.
Tony Stark. Oh, man. The biggest story this week in terms of, like, geekery would be the new trailer for Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
And it shook the internet. It was like we were all united for a brief second where we just stopped and watched this trailer a bunch of times as a society. And honestly, that's when the internet's at its best.
It's true.
And we all just stop everything and make fun of Clint's hair.
There was a lot of not great hair in this trailer. I wrote about it for Fangirls. You guys can check it out. If Courtney wants to sing the title of my post, I don't think we can. Sing it to yourself, though.
Well, I mean, can I sing it like where have all the barbers gone? Do-do-do, do-do-do, do-do-do. That's not going to get us sued.
No.
Paula Cole's not suing anyone.
So that trailer dropped. And what did you think?
I loved it. Now, okay, I will say this. This was like, I was very excited to have like the most Natasha I think we've had in a while.
Yeah.
Like, she had like more to do in this trailer than she did in like the last movie.
Yeah, Infinity War was pretty light on actual, like, on Natasha taking, like, action.
Yeah, I do want to understand what's going on with her hair. Is it because her hair is supposed to be naturally red?
Yes.
So she's having, like, some blonde, like, it doesn't look great. It's a weird look.
But the thing is, when your hair is growing out from a bleach like that, I just want that harsh line that you know she got, that harsh ring around her head of the line that goes from red to blonde. And I think they tried to soften it, and it didn't make sense.
It didn't, and it's long enough that at this point you could just cut off the blonde.
Just cut off
the
blonde.
We've all had the weird trying to go too light, period. We get it. We've been there, Natasha.
You look like a scary witch lady from like a Tim Burton movie, I feel like. That's the wig. That's the level of wig that exists for Natasha right now, and it's not
but
great.
At the same time, like, she's seen Clint. She knows, like, you know what? I'm doing fine hair-wise.
That's
I'm doing fine follicularly.
I do want to say that I think that superhero movies in general could benefit from getting a better wig person. Like, if you have ever seen the show Versailles on Netflix.
I have not.
It's incredible, but it I bring it up because it has the best wigs I've ever seen on anything ever. Like, I was watching that show and I'm like, did those actors grow their hair out to mid-back for this role?
Like, as far as we have come in terms of, like, CGI and motion cap and all that stuff, two things remain just outside Hollywood's abilities to get right. Wigs and colored contacts.
Right! Like,
not a single one, not a single colored contact has ever worked.
Or looked good.
No.
Nope. I mean, they've worked, it's gotten a little better with the introduction of CG to be able to change people's eye colors without having to make them wear those horribly uncomfortable contacts, mm-hmm. but it's still not great.
Remember when they tried to turn Jessica Alba into a blonde white lady?
Yep.
Like, didn't go great, but, like, we've made no progress since then.
No.
In terms of, like, hair and eye.
And so many things.
Eye trickery. Like, it's just, ugh.
I do want to bring up Carol, who makes her first appearance in a Marvel trailer, team trailer, and you know what was funny? You know, I was, like, super psyched to see Captain Marvel show up in this trailer and to get the buddy cop dynamic with Thor, which now mm-hmm. I just want a whole movie of. But the amount of makeup they have Brie Larson, like, they have on Brie Larson's face was unsettling.
It was shocking. And it's, like, the lipstick is, like,
oh.
It's like a matronly, like, mauve.
Yep. It's not like something. I mean, I guess it's pretty 90s if you think about it. And she hasn't been on Earth since the 90s, maybe.
I would only be okay if it was like a Bonnie Bell mocha.
That's true.
Like, then I would be like, this I can buy.
It's a little
too
purple.
This I can buy. But this is like Merle Norman. Like, this is very, like, this is straight out of my grandma's purse.
It's just, we got this whole movie of her, like, and you can wear makeup. Obviously, anyone can wear makeup
obviously,
if they want to.
Of course, yes.
However, I just think it's interesting that we have the whole movie of her in Captain Marvel with this, like, pretty fairly clean face. Like, obviously, she's wearing makeup. Like, you see mm-hmm. Mascara, like, whatever. But this, like, the shot we get of her in this trailer is, like, made up. Like,
yes.
Lipstick, like, it's just a little, like, it was a little unsettling.
She went to, like, the bare essentials counter.
Yep.
And was like, just do it.
I just need to look sexy.
I just need to look good. There's a whole bunch of dudes named Chris that I'm about to go hang out with.
To be fair, I guess were I in her position.
Fetch me my mauvest.
Where's my caboodle?
Dusty rose. But yes, like, the Thor and Carol moment was just so very good. And I said this on Twitter. I hate quoting myself on Twitter. But, it, like, one of my favorite running threads is that everyone Thor meets is, like, his best friend.
Yes!
And I love it so much. Like, I just will always be so happy when Thor makes a new friend.
And you see, because that's what's so great about Taika's Thor in Ragnarok is you can see who that person is. So, like, when he's telling his stories about how Loki, like, got him again and again and again, it's like, well, no, duh, because you love everybody. You're like a big puppy that's just so excited.
It's just like, this is my work friend. this is my friend tree. Like, everyone is my friend.
I'm so excited to make new friends.
I'm so jazzed all the time.
I'm pretty excited to see more of their dynamic in the movie, which thankfully we are like 40 short days away from.
Well, and that was also a nice moment in the trailer because the trailer is very, like, intense. Mm-hmm. It's very heavy. And especially coming out of Captain Marvel, which I saw again the other day. And that is just such, like, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
There is, like, uplifting and, like, funny moments. And Infinity War was obviously just, like, a punch in our hearts.
Yep.
repeatedly over and over again with plenty of funny moments. Don't get me wrong, but like Endgame, we knew going into this just like, oh God, just.
It's just going to be so sad just and emo.
Kick me in the soul. Why don't you?
We're going to watch a single tear track down Cap's face like five times in the first 30 minutes.
And emo is the right word because like the Hawkeye hair is emo. It is just straight up like a dashboard confessional something corporate double bill. It is just shaved on the side. It's
I'm going to argue against happening. The something corporate inclusion on that because.
High school Preeti just got real mad about this.
They were just piano rock. All right, so Endgame, we've got just like a little over a month until it comes out, and we'll all know how everybody comes back because you know they're coming back, and how Cap is probably going to die, but I'm holding on in my heart for old man Cap.
I'm just like, take Cap, take him away, but give me Peggy. Like, give me just one precious Peggy moment.
Her voiceover in that trailer did get me. It did. It's like, I do think Bucky is Cap's great love, obviously.
Yes.
But Peggy,
Maybe we get to keep Bucky.
Oh, I think we will. I think we're going to keep Bucky.
In a heteronormative world, let's just let him have his Peggy moment, because I need my Peggy moment.
Don't worry, they'll go off and dance together.
And if they actually, like, we've been talking about it so much, if they actually, like, have a, like, the moment where they talk about or even imply or, God forbid, show the dance, like, you're going to have to just, like, shovel me out of the theater.
Yeah, I think the tears will just come. I mean, I've talked about, I think, online before how the end of Infinity War was ruined for me because of someone's performative, overwhelming, like, death dirge style crying. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really hoping that doesn't happen again because I'm a big crier.
I am such a movie crier.
I love it. I will cry. Like every time I'm on a plane and watch a sad movie, I ugly cry. I ugly cry in the theater. I ugly cry at home. I am so angry that I was robbed of my moment to ugly cry at the end of Infinity War.
Yes.
So I
that
want it
taken,
in Endgame.
That was taken from you.
Give it
this
to
is
me.
Your, this is your villainous origin story.
Why didn't you let me cry when Peter dusted? How dare you? All right.
Let's
so
move on.
In
to good, great news.
Yes. In more Marvel news, it was a big Marvel week this week, as always, because it's a giant company with a lot of money. It's no secret that I am an advocate for Asian representation, you know, like with vested interest. And so when the news broke this week that Marvel had found its director for Shang-Chi and the director was Asian American, I almost could not believe it. Destin Daniel Cretton, best known for his film Short Term 12, which starred not only a pre-powered up Brie Larson, but superstars like Rami Malek, Stephanie Beatrice, and Lakeith Stanfield, signed on
it's
to helm.
It's a great movie. It's such a good movie.
I haven't seen it yet, but it just got added to some streaming thing. So I'm going to watch it this weekend, I hope.
Very good.
But he just signed on to helm the first Marvel movie about an Asian American superhero. Asian superhero, I'm sorry. I don't know what route they're going to take the film. But what is this new world we're living in where I can rely on representation both in front of and behind the camera?
That's the thing. Like, what is this brave new world where it's like, okay, you're getting this superhero, but we're going to have, like, Dave McWhite guy direct it, and you're just going to be happy about it.
I know. It's like, I don't even know what to do.
Yeah. Like, people getting to tell their own stories, like,
it's awesome. So weird, and it makes me way less nervous for a film about Shang-Chi when I know that there are people behind the camera who want the movie to be authentic. Like, I genuinely cannot wait to see more about this, and from Marvel, whatever phase we're in, I don't even know what number we're at this point.
I just don't know, but
seven?
You know what? I welcome it. I think we're getting into, like, the no white guy phase.
It's
like,
true.
I think it's
so
all
going
to be, like, girls. And, like, just no white guys. And I'm like, I'm here for it.
I mean, you know we're getting a Miss Marvel movie at some point.
Absolutely. Well, we are going to be right back with part two of our Kelly Sue DeConnick interview. Cher and Kelly Sue talked for so long that we had to break it into two, and it's so very, very good. We'll be back right after this.
One of the other things, too, I really do like about Carol, and I think this is something, too, that, again, like I said, like the more I got to know you and the more familiar I got with your work, and like once I discovered Bitch Planet, forget it. I was a done deal. But is the fact that Carol isn't really worried about being likable. And I appreciate that, you know, she is kind of a bitch, to be honest. And I like that. Like, I am one of those people that weirdly thinks bitch is not a bad word. And I kind of feel like women should reclaim that word, because at the end of the day, when someone's calling you a bitch, it's really because it's about power, you know, and it's about them being threatened by power that they're seeing in a woman, especially. So, you know, which brings me now to, like, obviously, like, Bitch Planet, you have, you know, bitches get shit done. So where do you kind of, because it seems like you are, you think similarly to that, or maybe feel a little similar to how I just explained when it comes to women being bitches.
Yeah, I mean, it's a provocative book title on purpose. And, you know, and it was like, it was a decision that meant, oh, we're going to get a lot of attention. It also means like some stores won't stock our book. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's fair. That's, you know, we made that call. It sounded like an exploitation film from the 70s to me. There's a freedom that comes from not caring how fuckable you are. You know?
I definitely mean, I get half of that, because I was telling someone the other day that's just turned 34 or something. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I gotta be honest with you. Like, 40s kind of fucking rock. Like, cause you just, once you start getting into the like late 30s is when you start slowly not giving a shit about stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like once you're in your 40s, especially as a woman, you're like, I don't care about so much of the dumb shit that I thought mattered, because it doesn't.
Yeah, there's just this, it's, I've called it before, like finding your wings.
Yeah.
You know, there's a joke to be made about how their minds seem to be made out of neck skin. But
what, you have those like Italian lady wings?
I got that too. I'm like, what is this? My neck is not where my neck goes. My neck is falling off my neck. It's like a turtleneck sweater of a neck. But yeah, there's just this thing that's like, oh, it's okay. I don't need to, you know, I mean, again, we're enculturated to prioritize the comfort of men because that has historically been what guaranteed our safety.
Right.
So it was really interesting to me during the Kavanaugh hearings how difficult it was for so many women I knew, even though they absolutely believed Dr. Ford, it was still hard for them to not empathize with Kavanaugh and, you know, being this close to his dream and having it taken away for, you know, a mistake he made many years ago when he was drunk under the, you know, with, and doesn't even remember, right? Or whatever it was, you know? And it was just this, like, this indoctrination to make sure that men in power are safe and comfortable and happy because our well-being depends on it, because, you know, within my lifetime, a woman could not get a credit card without a man co-signing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like our literal ability to exist in the world has depended upon the approval of men. Yeah. And so making sure men are safe and comfortable and like you is a real good move if you hope to exist in this world and in any way be safe or flourish. When there's culture and generations of that in you, it is in your lizard brain, it is very, very hard to turn that off.
You know, another thing too, like I want to talk to you about, and I know we're like jumping all over the place, but, you know, I know you guys have your own company, Milk-Fed, and but you also do stuff, and you obviously you write for DC, you write for Marvel, and for myself, and I'm sure for a lot of other people, I think it's really, I'm really interested in how that works, and also how being a woman that, you know, you have so much going on, and I see that you're always looking for ways to declutter your life, to stay organized, to stay motivated and on task, and you put so much thought and effort into the work of your work. So I guess I just kind of like want to talk about that, like what it's like, what, okay, why you guys decided to start your own company, because you're kind of like your own, it's almost, I view you almost like you guys have your own independent label that is like subsidized by Sony. Like you're an indie band and you have your own indie label, but you occasionally might do like, you know, a DC or a Marvel.
Right. That's pretty accurate.
Thanks.
Really. I mean, we try to do... I love working for DC and Marvel, and I don't, that is not slumming it. You know, I will make no apologies for working in the genre. I think the genre is actually very important. And I think you can do incredible storytelling within the superhero genre. It's not the right genre for everything. Mm-hmm. It's not the right genre to have like some big, heavy conversations, but that's okay. There's really cool stuff that you can do under these umbrellas. And there's another conversation to be had about a concern that I have for our industry and the domination of the big two in the industry, and how the big two are becoming sort of part of these big corporate constructions that I fear are making comics less innovative. But that is a conversation for another time. I'm not like DC and Marvel are bad, man. It's
no,
not bad.
It's but it's something, things do change. And it's something that I've learned even with my job, that like when you start involving more of the corporate level, things just change. It becomes a little more mainstream in a way that's, it loses
money,
its edge. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, money is the enemy of risk taking. So that's why the reason we can innovate in comics is because we're cheap and fast, and that's why, you know, we've been such a like breeding ground for a lot of things in film and television that are very expensive, right? So they have to be proven and tested in places that are cheaper and faster.
Yeah.
So you know, I understand when you're, you know, the difference between, you know, spending, you know, $8,000 to get a book out versus $8 million to do a pilot or $180 million to do a movie, right? There's like, that's a big difference.
Right.
Like there's a lot more writing on the movie or the TV show, and a lot more people understandably are nervous and need to weigh in on things. And they get very concerned about the possibility of making anyone mildly uncomfortable. But we don't have to worry about that in comics, because who cares? There's going to be another one out in 30 days and it's going to make its money back and it's fine. But as it becomes about protecting those brands, and that, you know, what we do in comics is sort of considered like, you know, farm team for other media, that's not cool.
Yeah.
And it starts to take away our ability to innovate, and also it devalues the medium, because people start to look at comics like proof of concept or leave behinds for other projects, and storyboards are not comics. And if you are making a comic that is just a series of storyboards, you are not using the form correctly. So anyway, I said this is a conversation for another time, and then I went ahead and had that
it's
conversation.
It's okay.
So I'm sorry about that.
Apologize. Seriously, please don't ever apologize.
But where was I going with that? I was going to, what
so,
were we talking about?
You know, having your own like independent label.
Oh yeah. So what we try to do is, you know, the dominant genre in our country and our market is the superhero comic still. It's not as dominant as it used to be. But Matt and I still both have an affection for the genre, and we have no derision for it. There have been some bad superhero comics, but there's some brilliant superhero comics. And we continue to work in that genre and for those companies when we feel like we have something to say that is appropriate for it, right? Like, it's not the place for everything. And it's a nice, we talk about doing the Soderbergh model, right? Where you do, like, one for them, two for me.
Yeah.
One for them, two for me. And I do think it's important for young creators to own some of their work. So, you know, you do work for the big two and you
do your own stuff.
And you're well paid, you build your audience, you have, you know, a good editor, and you're learning, you're improving upon your craft, and you're meeting different artists, and you're learning to write for artists who have different styles, and so on and so forth, and it's all very important. But ultimately, even though there may be people at those companies who love you and who are wonderful, the companies themselves do not love you, because that is not what companies do,
exactly.
Because they're not people, they're not constructed for that, and they will not take care of you, and it's really important that you have clear eyes about that. And the only thing that you have as a creator is to own your work. And so it is wildly important that you make sure that your sort of your portfolio of how you spend your time is divided such that there's work for hire and work that you own. And my husband likens it to, you know, you have to work out all the different muscle groups,
mm-hmm.
or you got to do your aerobic activity and your anaerobic activity. You have to balance the time that you spend on these two things, because the only thing that you have, there's no gold watch. There's no, I'm like, our industry has been so bad to its elders. You know, mm-hmm. we have that, you know, all these freelancers who created characters that make, you know, billions of dollars with a B, can't pay their medical bills.
Yeah.
And we literally have a charity in our industry that pays the medical bills of the elders, titans in our craft. And that's vile. And the only defense that we have against that is education, so that the next class of creators that comes up, the next cohort, knows that they have to balance their work so that they own it, so that there is something that they walk away from that they own. Bless them. DC and Marvel are amazing, and having, you know, Marvel is the longest running continuous narrative in human history, and I am incredibly honored to have sewn on that quilt. But they don't love you. It's a company. It can't love you.
Yeah.
It won't take care of you. There is no agreement. There is no watch. When there is an expiration date on your forehead, you can't see it. When it comes, you're gone, and that's it.
Do you feel like when you're creating stuff that is creator owned, so like a Bitch Planet, you know, Sex Criminals, any of that stuff, versus working on like a Captain Marvel or an Aquaman, do you feel like seeing somebody take over Captain Marvel after your run, do you think that's something that you would ever be able to do when it comes to a creator owned thing, where it's like, you know what, like, here's, you know, it's time to maybe open up this story and let someone else share, you know, create something for it. Is that something that you ever would envision doing, or do you think like you couldn't do that because it's something that you created and you guys own, whereas handing the keys over to a rental car is different?
I mean, I write everything like I own it. I never approach something with any sort of timidity, I don't think. I hope not. I don't tend to read books after I leave them. Like, I love Kelly Thompson, and I adore Margaret Stoll, and I am certain that they're, no one should read anything into Love and Adore. I love and adore both of them. They're good people and brilliant writers and very accomplished, and I'm sure that their runs on Captain Marvel are super great. And I haven't read them because, like, when a relationship ends, you wish them well, but you, like...
But you're on to the next thing, yeah.
Yeah, you don't, like, follow their Facebook or whatever it is, you
right.
know, like,
you know, you're not having that like possessive attachment to the thing, and you're able to let go and keep going.
Yeah. And it just feels sort of like I would never be able to read their books. Not never. Eventually I would probably be able to read their books with a detachment. But right now I wouldn't. I would read it with like, oh, that's good. I wish I had done that. Or, oh, I wouldn't have done that, mm-hmm. you know, or like, you know what I mean? Or like, or some sort of judgy, like, that's not Carol, or that's Carol. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to do that. So,
yeah.
Also, I don't have time to keep up on that stuff. So, it is certainly, I left Captain Marvel by my choice because I knew I had to. I knew it was the time to do it. Like, Bitch Planet, we have opened up Bitch Planet to other people to write. We have the Bitch Planet triple feature short stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that world is an open world, and other creators are invited to participate. I do work in the editorial on that. So, you know, I am the decision maker on I could say, you know, no, that's not how it would go in this world or whatever. But I certainly haven't. It felt very additive to have people participate in it. It's great. I mean, I come from a theater background, so I'm kind of a hey, you guys, let's all get together and put on a show, you know? I've always, when I want to be God, I'll write that novel, you know? So I like to collaborate. I like for other people's ideas to come in. It's a different thing when I leave a project, when I pass that character on or that helm or that title on. And there hasn't been a whole ton of this, but, you need a break
right.
from it. And it's like, you don't want to be weird and creepy and like, you just need a little bit of a healthy remove, I think. Pretty Deadly is a finite story. It's envisioned as it's five arcs and it has a very clear end point. So it's hard for me to imagine how or why anybody else would do that book.
Right.
But you know, when people do fan art or we did have a friend write a prose backup for it that kind of expanded the world a little bit. And that was great. That didn't bother me at all. It was cool. But again, I had an editorial role.
Right.
But yeah.
But yeah, for you, it's easy regardless if it's like your character that you created or it's one that you're basically putting in your time and telling your story, and then, you know, that someone was there before you and there's someone's going to be there after you. Like, you're able to.
Yeah, and I mean, as the writer, you're only one half of the DNA, right?
Right.
You know, and so, like, so my Carol spans a whole bunch of different artists. It's not my Carol, it's our Carol. And
right.
the tone of the book changes, you know, when I'm doing something with Dex, it's closer to Zeppelin, right? It's bigger. It's Dex's work is, it's not quite metal, but it's like mythic, right?
Yeah.
And, and big, like splash pages, you know, and then Emma, I did a couple of issues of Captain Marvel with Emma, and, you know, there's that lyrical quality to everything that Emma does. And then Philippe, it became much more whimsical.
So really is like a musician. I mean, the more you're saying this, I'm just, you know, because like I know I said that you guys having your own company is like having your own indie label that's subsidized or a bigger label. But even as you're explaining it right now, you know, it's like any real good musician that really loves being a musician, they have multiple, like they might have that one thing that's the main thing, but they're also like I'm obsessed with Foo Fighters, I'm obsessed with Dave Grohl, you know, he's got them Crooked Vultures, he's got like all these other things, sometimes he played with Queens of the Stone Age, you know, like he had all this other stuff going on.
It's all about who you're playing with,
right? Yeah.
And you know, and when David took over Captain Marvel, it became pop. Because that's the music we make together, right? That's because everything about David is at 11 and it's all funny and it's like, so, you know, we had to make that make sense in that world. And that led to like some crazy fun decisions or some really silly stuff. In the same way that Philippe's is just, you know, it's so beautiful and you can sort of like, you can feel the cold air and it has such a sense of the city about it.
Let's talk. I really quickly want to ask you about Bitches Get Shit Done.
Okay.
So because I get those texts.
Oh, sweet. I don't send them as often as I used to. I'm worried about being repetitive, I think.
But what made you decide to start that? And do you ever think of, because again, like for myself, I'm very drawn to women that are running things and that are business and creative at the same time, because I think it's a rarity. And I think a lot of the times creatives don't always consider the business part. They just kind of assume like, oh, someone else will do this for me. But I feel like, especially being a woman.
What's the sort of myth of discovery, right?
Right.
That, like, you know, you just sit here drinking this milkshake and someone's going to see you and know you're a star.
Right.
You know, and like, no, that's not how it works. You know, you not only have to make the thing, and you have to make the thing. And there are sometimes people who will try to skip the make the thing part.
Yeah.
You know, and they go straight to the PR part. And like, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
I am not going to hire you to fix a sink because you are real fond of washing your hands.
Right.
You know, like you need to fix some sinks.
But I also think, too, it's like being a woman especially is, I think it's even more imperative for a woman to be able to understand the business that they're in, because you're so much more likely to be surrounded by people that are not acting in your best interest because of the fact that you are a woman, or they're going to undermine you or devalue you.
Yes, or when you advocate for yourself, you appear uppity or, you know, whatever it is. Or they will try to set you up to compete against other women or
all those wonderful things.
A million things. Yeah. No. And it's hard. And it's hard, too, because, you know, we talked earlier about not giving a shit if you're liked. Right. And the freedom that comes in that. And guess what? That's not an option.
No.
There are ways that men are allowed to set boundaries and be firm, or even make mistakes that women just still cannot get away with. He has an off day, he's had an off day. She had an off day, she's flighty or she's flaky or she's a bitch.
She's emotional.
She's crazy. She's crazy. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm. So bitches get shit done. You know, it feels like you are trying to kind of impart a little bit of experience and just knowledge on
whatever
how
the
to
text
function.
Says
yeah.
Is. I'm not, it seems maybe like I'm stalking you, and this is the message intended especially for you. And the joke I always make is that, oh yeah, like I turned on the camera on your computer. But really, whatever message I send is actually the message I need to hear that day.
Yeah.
And I will realize, oh, this is what this is. Very often it is either just a simple, like, keep swimming, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it is okay that you just do what's right in front of you right now, but you have to do what's right in front of you right now.
Yeah. But that's important, because I think especially when you are, again, being a woman in this space, it's so, because for so long we've been conditioned that other women are the competition, that I think that's largely why it's so hard sometimes to find other mentors, because it's like that unicorn syndrome, right? Like you're the only one, and you feel like you have to be the only one to stay there. So I feel like it's even more important.
Well, that's one of the things that I super love about the Captain Marvel movie, is how vitally important her relationship with Maria is.
Yeah, and how they talk to Monica, too, is just amazing.
Yes, I was talking to an interviewer about this yesterday, I think, that in our culture, we are always shown men who can compete and stay friends and make each other better. Right. And that's, you know, like, that is part of their masculine bonding, you know, like, it's a very special relationship, the two guys that are the best in their field, you know. We are not allowed that from women. In culture, when we see women, they do not compete, or if they compete, they are competing for the attention or affection or approval of a man, and they don't compete in a way that's overt. It is hidden and denied and manipulative and backstabbing. Mm. And there is no, we don't get to see that kind of friendship modeled for us in larger culture. And the thing is, that exists in the world. That is, I know my lady colleagues are super important to me. Willow Wilson is so good, I get mad.
But it makes you want to be better, too, though.
And
right?
I would not take anything away from her. And the fact that every time she levels up, I feel like I need to step up my game, it, like, makes me proud to know her. You know, and I adore her, and I wish her nothing but success. And
but it's so important to have
that.
And
I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel that way about Marjorie Liu, and some of the young women coming up too. Mags Vesalio and Kelly Thompson are incredible young women. Margaret Stoll, you know, like I'm not threatened by how good they are. I'm delighted by it.
Yeah.
I'm excited by it. I'm challenged by it. I'm like, you know, all right, old lady.
It's almost like that.
Don't sit down. And that's great, and that's amazing. And we don't get to see it, and that bums me out because I don't. My experience of women is not that kind of nasty, nice to your face and stab you in the back, and it's all about, you know, a competing for the affection of the dudes or whatever. That's
right.
Not my life. That is not the women in my circle. That's not what I want to see. And so for Carol and Maria to have this relationship where they are in direct competition with one another and yet the very best of friends is really important. And also, there is a moment where Carol essentially acknowledges, like, there's a white feminism moment.
Yeah.
That's how she got to that plane first. From Maria's perspective, if Maria had been the pilot, there wouldn't have been a crash, so the powers thing never would have happened. So it's not like Carol took the powers, you know?
Right.
But like, Carol had an advantage. Carol cheated. And that's important. You know? Like, I've never seen that acknowledged on screen. I've never seen. And I was, when we were talking about it with the filmmakers, it was like, it's really important that Monica not say that's okay. Like, Monica can't, or Monica, sorry, Maria can't let her off the hook for that because it's not okay.
Right.
But the acknowledgement was something I've never seen that happen before. And that I thought was really, really cool. And that Maria does get her hero moment. And we do get to see that she's a badass pilot.
Plus, Lashana Lynch is amazing.
She is. When she delivers that monologue, it's like,
she is so fucking good.
You are a superstar.
Yeah, I hope she blows up after this movie. And she was such a delight. During the junket, I got to interview her. And she, I mean, to be honest, everyone with the cast were all great. She was my favorite interview of the day. Like, she was just so, like, she's it. Like, she has it. She's it. Like, I really want to see her blow up after this movie because she definitely should. And
did I hear she got cast in Why the Last Man?
I think she did, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's going to happen then.
Yeah. She's amazing.
She is phenomenal.
But yeah, but with Bitches Get Shit Done, I know we're jumping, but whatever, these are all connected.
I'm sorry. It is
no, seriously, do not apologize. I love, this is how I like to talk to people anyway, so you're perfect. Do you ever think about doing something more with that, like turning it into like a podcast or something? Because I think there really is an importance and a need for women talking about just that kind of stuff, like talking about all of it and about like doing the work and preparing for the work and the reality of like sometimes feeling, you know, dealing with imposter syndrome or, you know, just having to almost pep talk yourself through a day sometimes. Do you ever think about doing that? Because you should.
You know, we've talked about doing a podcast, but not a Bitches Get Shit Done podcast. So we talked about doing a Milkhead podcast, but we were like, I don't know what we talk about. But, cause we do craft lunch. We haven't done it in a while cause we've been too busy, but we used to do every Wednesday, we would have craft lunch and we would talk, we'd sit around the table with, folks that work for us and interns and talk about the craft of comic making and discuss a particular subject. And we're like, oh, we should make this into a podcast.
You should.
That would be good. But then it was like, but then we would have to edit it and record it. And that would take time we don't have.
You can pay somebody to edit for you.
Yeah, maybe. Bitches Can Shut Down's a good idea too. I had never actually thought about that, but
I mean, if you need a co-host, I know somebody.
Okay, sweet.
See me just worming my way into your world.
I'm writing that down, sister. Yeah, I mean, the reason I started it hilariously was because do you know Chris Sabella?
No.
Okay, Chris Sabella writes High Crimes and Crowded.
Like, I know the name, I don't know him.
Yeah,
I don't know him personally.
Okay, so he's a Portland guy, and we go way, way back. He was a friend of Matt's before Matt and I ever met, and he was staying with us for a while when his, like, between apartments, and then when he moved out, he made some joke about wishing I was there to occasionally walk through and guilt him into working. Because, you know, I'm everybody's mom, and I'm like, what are you working on? What are you working on? What are you doing? are you checking email? Because that's not working. And so Chris made a joke about wishing that that I would just nag him every once in a while. And I was like, oh, shit, I will happily nag. I will outsource my nagging for you. That is not a problem. And so, like, I started texting him, what are you working on? Like, are you working? Or whatever, just randomly. And then he posted about it. And then, like, a couple of people were like, shit, I wish you would do that for me. And then I was like, oh, my God, hold on. And I found this texting service. It's intended for teachers that I could use and send out. Anybody can sign up for it, and I can send out a mass of texts for free to anybody who wants them. And so it was initially just me outsourcing my nagging. and then, you know, so the initial texts were like, have you had water?
But that's still an important thing that people have to be reminded. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, but I mean, these days, it more often than not, it's either straight encouragement, some kind of like reaction to, you know, when something horrible happens in the news, it's like, I love you, it's okay. Or it's, you know, a kind of, like, with my kids, we're always talking about, we talk about our circle. Mm-hmm. What is inside your circle and what is outside your circle, and keeping your attention inside your circle. Inside your circle are things that are your responsibility or your business. And then outside of the circle are things that are not your responsibility, not your business, or things you can't control.
See, but even stuff like that, like, that's why I really honestly, like, and I'm not just saying this to you because I'm like blowing smoke up your ass or because I would totally do this with you, but I 100%, and I'm telling you this as a woman that, you know, is trying to like make her own way, is trying to like start her own stuff. Stuff like that is so important because I've noticed even in the position that I'm in where I have, you know, 30, 40 freelancers that I have to manage on top of also creating this thing, that's information that's so helpful, you know, because it's something that...
No, and it's, when I teach, I will actually draw a circle up on the whiteboard and we'll talk to the students and we'll write things that are outside the circle and things that are inside the circle. And we talk about why you have the impetus to reverse it, why you have the impetus to expend all of your energy on things that are outside your circle and none of it on the things that are inside your circle, and what that is about and what it does to you when you do that. And so usually, I mean, this is the whole basis behind like my entire like coping mechanism for the world is, You know, when I am trying to control someone else's behavior, when I am worried about whether they like a thing or not, that is not for me to control. That is outside my circle, and that is manipulate. When I try to control their actions or control their reactions or control like what they like or don't like, that's manipulation, and that's not right. And so now I have to come back to, well, okay, what is inside my circle? Well, what is inside my circle is how I handle their critique. Right. So, and that's very scary and very personal. And what's inside my circle is what ways I have learned to bolster my confidence, or ways I have learned to use the inertia in my favor, right? Mm. So, you know, when I'm moving, staying moving. When I'm winning, staying winning. That kind of thing. And I do think it's important. And usually the bitches get shit done texts. And one of the problems is they have to be so short. That's kind of hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard to distill an idea like the circle down to, you know, however many characters right. you're allowed on that thing. But usually it's about, it's either cheer up, you're not alone, I love you, or let's make sure that we're focusing on the things that actually matter and using the things that we have in limited commodities. Like people think that their idea, like it's all about the ideas. Ideas are bullshit. It like you have 30 to 40 ideas a day as soon as you learn to recognize them. It's not about the ideas. It's about the work and the courage and the time. Those are the things that you have in limited amounts, and that's where you have to be very careful about your spending. Like, are you giving your time to things that don't pay you back? Are you giving your time to things that don't feed you? And like in the same way, like when you mentor people or when you decide to like spend your time helping someone else rise to their next level, like you want to make those investments wisely, right? You want to take the people who you believe are going to bring their best efforts to that.
Right.
Just the same way that when you make an investment of money, right? What you're trying to do when you're investing in mentorship is to help that person get their voice out into the world.
Yeah.
You know, so you have a limited amount of time that you can give to that. You want to like invest it as wisely as possible.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's now do a podcast.
Like, yeah, it's not about deserving. That's different.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because, I don't know. We all deserve everything and none of us anything. And that's just a silly way to look at it.
Sure.
But, yes. Okay, let's do a podcast. We just did a podcast.
We know.
Isn't this a podcast?
This is, but that would be a totally separate, specific one of that.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll do that, too.
First, I want to thank you for making time to talk to us on Strong Female Characters. And everybody that's listening, definitely go out and go see Captain Marvel numerous, numerous times because it's fucking badass.
Just please. Like, yeah. And also on the opening weekend. And also, we didn't even talk about how incredibly feminist the last showdown is. We can talk about that another time.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about that another time.
Thank you so much to Kelly Sue for taking the time to talk to us, especially right now in Captain Marvel's America.
Woo!
But like, let's take a break because we've had a lot of like really good like solid girl power going on, and it's time to take that moment that we take every week to dishonor the men doing the most to be the absolute least in a little segment we like to call Useless Male of the Week. Finally, a man is useless in a good way, as Bryan Singer has been removed as director from Red Sonja after no American distributor would release the film if he was attached to it. Bryan Singer, your dangerous, hideous uselessness is no longer of use to us, so kindly step away from the kick-ass sword lady. Oh, thank you.
I'm so sorry. I had like my hand over my mouth because I was laughing so hard and I didn't want to like interrupt the good flow. So as with every episode, we want to celebrate the good, the great, the best. It is time for our hero of the week. Today, we salute Danai Gurira, which I cannot say her name without adopting my like I'm speaking Hindi voice. Not that her name is Hindi, but like that accent just comes out. The actress who plays the absolutely iconic Okoye in Ryan Coogler's Black Panther. This week, when Marvel released the poster for Avengers Endgame, people noticed pretty quickly that Gurira was the only person on the poster who was not credited in the top-billed cast. Marvel reacted damn fast and fixed that shit, which is good, considering Okoye is one of the most kick-ass characters they've had the good fortune to have represent their name in the last decade. So bless you, Denai, and thank you for Okoye, who is the general of my heart.
Now it's time for our newest segment where we shout out one listener review for their awesome feedback about the podcast. And without you, we would just be talking to ourselves and saying, like, hey, you know what? Thanks, us. Great job, us. So this week, we would like to shout out MandaRN3, who had this to say on iTunes. I have been a devoted listener since the very beginning, and this podcast is always a highlight of my week. These ladies are unafraid to speak their minds for all the right reasons. I absolutely love their interviews, which often lead me to new worlds, whether it is in a book, film, or television show. I love that they talk about real-world issues and highlight the wonderful things women are doing to make a change in this ever-changing world. It has taken me many years to be comfortable with the fact that I have and always will be a nerd geek feminist, but these ladies encourage me to speak geek like a girl and be proud of it. Thank you, Manda RN3. Speak geek like a girl with us all the time.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We love you. And you know what? If you love us back, you should leave us some love on iTunes because it helps other people find the podcast. It helps iTunes know that you like us and helps other people like us. So thank you for all your support for the show and go ahead and take it right onto the iTunes road. You can always find us on Twitter and Instagram at Sci-Fi Fangirls Pod or at Sci-Fi Fangirls if you want to just read our words as well as hear our luscious voices. And you can find me on Twitter at Court Enlow and on Instagram at Courtney Enlow.
And I am on Twitter at Run With Scissors.
And until next time,
speak geek like a girl.